I'm Kev Jackson, and this is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Find your great moments in Bemidji. And by Northview Bank, helping you find your piece of paradise in Paul Bunyan Country.
I'm Bruce Jean at Rainy Lake Guiding. I always like to give to those in need. That's why I'm on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, because we all know Kev Jackson is sure in need of knowledge.
We are checking in with Tony Roach of Roach's Guide Service as he makes his way down to the Metro. Tony, you're going to be busy this weekend, huh?
Yeah, the Northwest Sports Show. It's hard to believe that the winter that never was is already over. Usually the kickoff for me for the open water season is always these spring sports shows, and this is one of the first ones.
For those who haven't been there before, it's one of the biggies, right? I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's probably one of the bigger sports shows as far as outdoor sports shows in the country. I mean, the Northwest Sports Show historically has been at least one of the bigger ones in the Midwest. I know it's bigger than anything in this area, maybe even bigger than the Chicago show.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a big deal. There's a lot of people down there, a lot of vendors, a lot of resorts, boat sales. It's a fun event. Again, for me, it's like the kickoff to open water, the open water season in Minnesota anyway.
So I know obviously you'll probably take a look around and everything, but are you working down there as well?
Yeah, I'm doing some seminars. I'll be doing some seminars, some walleye seminars when I'm there. Also working for Rapala, Lund Boats, various vendors, St. Croix Rods, that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I love sports shows, you know. I know sports shows over the last 10 years, because of, you know, social media and internet sales, aren't what they used to be. I know when I first started going to sports shows as a kid, and, you know, with my dad and my Uncle Gary, I would hang around, they'd be doing seminars, and it was like, you know, anybody who was anybody in the fishing world would be at these shows. It's not like that anymore, but it's still really a big deal. There'll be lots of people down here all weekend, so I'm pretty excited. I love talking to other anglers about fishing. I love talking to other anglers in the fishing industry. Sometimes these shows are the only time you get to talk to one another, so yeah, it's great.
Okay. Yeah, so you'll be doing your seminars. You'll be sitting in various people's booths and taking a look at everything. Is there anything you want to take a close look at while you're down there this weekend?
You know, even though we've had a mild winter and, you know, it's kind of already spring, if you will, or spring-like weather, a lot of the lakes are starting to go out. I just like sitting in boats. It just makes me feel good. Like, I can't wait to get in a boat, just kind of sit in a boat. Sometimes I get to the sports show early and I just jump in a boat before anybody's there and I just kind of kick back. It's just sort of my way of jumping into spring, if you will. And then, of course, you know, checking out all the electronics, if there's anything new. Yeah, it's kind of the only time period in the spring that I get to kind of touch, feel things is down at these shows. Other than that, you watch videos, you see it online, you see these new products that are out. But until you're there, you know, and actually get to touch it and feel it, that's what I love about ICAST. ICAST is where they launch all the new products. It's generally, the last 5 years or so, it's been down in Orlando. You get to see all the new products and actually get to touch it, feel it, rather than just watching it on a video online.
Yeah. Oh, man. It is, I agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, I've got one I got to go to for broadcast. And, you know, it's just fun to get face-to-face with people of like mind and that you can learn stuff from and just get pumped up amongst yourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Talk a little bit about this past winter. You know, you didn't have a great ice season. Nobody had a great ice season other than, I think, Red Lake and maybe Lake of the Woods. But otherwise, it was, you know, dicey at best to get out there. How was the bite when you were out there on the ice?
It was actually incredible. I mean, everywhere I fished was absolutely fantastic. I think oxygen levels were way up there. you know, you had warmer temperatures. Everything was favorable to good fishing. You know, the weeds stayed green. I mean, so on and so forth. So it was actually a really good winter for me. As far as mobility, I was able to get around with a Ranger, with a four-wheeler. I couldn't drive, and I couldn't take the wheelhouses out, and that sort of thing. But as far as fishing and getting access to lakes that I hadn't fished in a while, it was great. I got to explore a few lakes, like I said, that I never fished before, and then I got to fish some lakes that I hadn't fished in a while, and I was amazed to find, several lakes that, in my mind, were, even though they were fantastic panfish lakes, like actually got way back in the woods and got back in there, and they had winter killed over the last two winters. You know, we had so much snow mm-hmm. that there was actually nothing there. So to be back into these lakes with, kind of forward-facing technology and wandering around, just kind of scanning and seeing nothing. A couple of lakes I saw bait fish, and that was about it. And but then I got into other lakes that I hadn't fished in a while, and it was really cool just to kind of hike back into these lakes and explore. I love doing that. That's probably one of my favorite things to do in the winter is you pick a nice day, you go out pan fishing. It could be crappies, bluegills, even perch. And, just drill holes looking for them, exploring until you land on them, and then start catching fish. And I was able to do that quite a bit. So it was really, really fun. It was a fun ice season, to be honest with you, even though, for the majority of ice anglers, it was a challenging season. For my guide service, we were way down as far as numbers and the amount of customers we could take out. But just from an angler that likes exploring and doing that sort of thing, it was really fun. I had a blast. It was just unreal.
And I think for the guys who are serious anglers like you that are mobile and have the lightweight equipment and move, there was a lot of fish to be caught. I think for the people who their idea of ice fishing is we bring our mansion out and put it in the lake and leave it there all winter, they couldn't do that this year.
Yeah, there was no ice houses out, hardly. I mean, very few ice houses in contrast to most seasons. I think a lot of people gave up on ice fishing. I didn't see a lot of anglers in general. Even these lakes that you could get out on four-wheelers and Rangers, I saw very few people out. You know, we would take groups out fishing, and we might be the only group for the whole day out there. And so, I think a lot of these lakes are actually in pretty good shape. I don't get a chance to panfish very often in open water. I'm chasing walleyes all the time, smallmouth bass. I do a few panfish trips in the spring, but I don't get to chase panfish all year. Well, in the winter is when I get to kind of explore these fisheries, and a lot of them are in really good shape. The ones that didn't winter freeze out are actually in really good shape. I think the past three winters have been really challenging for ice fishing just because of all the snow, all the slush that we were dealing with last year in a lot of lakes. And then, of course, this year, a lot of people just didn't know we had ice. I had so many customers from out of state or from the Twin Cities Metro and South that, didn't think we had ice. So they were just calling to cancel. And I said, hey, no, don't worry about it. We got plenty of ice. We got 18 inches or whatever it was, 17 inches. We got plenty of ice, kind of confirming that. But they would have canceled had I not been able to talk to them on the phone or had a conversation via email.
Okay. Well, I buried the lead because the lead is not a great lead, but I do need to get your thoughts. The announcement has been made. Mille Lacs, at least until August, going to be strictly catch and release on walleyes. What are you thinking, Tony?
I was a little disappointed. I sat in the meetings. I'm on the Mille Lacs Fisheries Committee. I was a little disappointed with the DNR's numbers as far as their fall assessment. When they did their fall assessment, surface temperatures were above 70 degrees. And so you don't get a lot of fish in the shallows. And I know their kind of rebuttal to that is they have offshore nets, but their offshore nets are really a drop in the bucket. Where they capture, what they need as far as their fall assessments of the lake is in shallow water. And those fish weren't in there. They were out deep. What they were catching in there were fish that were hungry, right? I think the lake itself is in really good shape. Contrary to what, you know, the DNR is saying about this year's fall assessment, I think the lake's in really good shape. I think they're on the right track as far as bait fish numbers. We're seeing a dwindling number of young of the year perch hatches. We need some really good perch recruitment at this point. And we've seen that the past few years, but we didn't get it this year. And I think they're concerned about that. And I am as well. But the overall health of the fishery and the fish themselves, I think they look really good. All winter, the bite was decent. The fish look great. I'm seeing lots of different year classes. They're saying that spawning stock biomass is down. I disagree with that a little bit. I think we have pretty good recruitment right now. I'm seeing really good year classes of small walleyes. Those fish I don't tend to see until winter, and when you can stand over them with a small jig and catch them. Saw really good numbers of small fish in the lake, so I think we're healthy there. I think I'm not bashing on the DNR. I think the biologists do the best job they can, but they're sort of have a time constraint, which they need to get all this data into the state before they have their technical committee meetings with the bands, and because it's a shared fishery, just like Red Lake, you know, they have to have all their data in at a certain point. And I really feel that some of that data is rushed at times, and they're not able to get an adequate count on the lake. And to see, you know, them come out and sort of have a knee-jerk reaction to this, I think it's exactly that. I think the lake's in a lot better shape than, you know, their numbers show it, at least for this season. You know, for me, I'm pretty conservative. So if it's catch and release, Mille Lacs is one of those lakes that you're not going to be able to keep very many fish anyway. So whether it's one or catch and release, I don't care. I love going out there and just wailing on fish. And I think most of my customers that still go to Mille Lacs and enjoy fishing Mille Lacs go there because the fishing is incredible, right? Mm-hmm. You can go there and it rivals some of the catch rates that you do in Canada, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the fishing is really good. And so that remains the same. You know, this winter we had incredible days out there. Last fall was outstanding. This spring is going to be great fishing. It's just you're not going to be able to harvest your one fish or, you know, whatever. And I'm fine with that. I don't care about keeping one walleye. I'm going out there for the experience. But, yeah, I mean, that's my take on it. I feel that the lake is in really good shape. Yes, I agree with the DNR as far as yellow perch numbers. We need some better perch recruitment, and I don't have the answer for that. I don't know if it's, you know, zebra mussel related or, you know, lack of vegetation or, you know, what's going on with the lake as far as yellow perch numbers, because it seems like we don't have very many yellow perch, and all of a sudden it just bounces right back, and we'll have young of the year perch everywhere. And then the next season we don't have good perch recruitment. Well, those perch get eaten down because there's so many fish in the lake.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know where the balance is there. I wouldn't mind if, you know, we could harvest one or two more walleyes. That would be great. But the fact that we can't doesn't really affect me as far as my feeling is, or my feelings about going out there catching, you know, just having a good fishing experience. So, you know, I always get asked if it was a six fish limit and terrible fishing, or if it was a catch and release limit with excellent fishing, what would I choose? And by far, it would be the excellent fishing. I you know, I don't care.
And I was going to ask, you know, how it affects your business, but it sounds like, you know, the action is there, and your clients are looking for action, so that should continue regardless.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have my area. You know, I fish a lot all around Brainerd, Aiken areas. We do a ton of trips all over the place on small lakes. People resort all over. The customers that I still have on Mille Lacs aren't interested in harvesting a fish. A one fish limit doesn't make their choice whether they're going to Mille Lacs or not. They drive to Mille Lacs from the Twin Cities or, you know, vacation around that area because maybe they don't eat fish or they just like catching them. I have a lot of customers that love going out catching smallmouth bass all morning long, and then they want to go walleye fishing in the afternoon or vice versa. And so that clientele that still fishes Mille Lacs, that's what they want. They you know, they're not going to plan their vacation around whether you can harvest a fish on Mille Lacs or not. And, you know, me personally, I just like to catch fish. So, like, if Mille Lacs is hot, like last year it was, again, one of the hottest lakes in the state when it comes to walleye fishing, I'm going there. Like, if I have a day off and I just want to catch walleyes and I want to get good at certain techniques, I go to Mille Lacs. You know, same thing when Leech is hot or Winnie or wherever. I go there because of the fishing experience. You know, I want to go there because the fish are biting. You know, the harvest is another thing. So,
okay. One of the things that's interesting, there's been a few lakes I've talked to some guys and they're seeing a rebound of perch on their lakes, and they'd had the same situation. You know, the perch numbers looked low. There was concern. Now they bounce back. I'm not exactly sure why that's happening. I don't think they know either, but it does show that perch numbers can come back pretty quick.
Yeah, they're prolific spawners. You know, it's amazing to me how fast yellow perch can rebound. And I know perch are cyclical. I mean, Mille Lacs is no stranger to this boom-bust cycle when it comes to perch. I've seen it ever since I was a kid. You know, you'd have incredible bites, you know, throughout the 90s, and then it would be the Dead Sea. Everybody would say Mille Lacs Lake, the Dead Sea. Well, it wasn't that there was no fish. It was there was so many perch that the fish just weren't hungry. Mm-hmm. I've seen it on Leech Lake. I've seen it on Winnie. I've seen it on Leech where you drive literally for a mile straight, and it's solid young of the year perch, and you can't get those fish to bite on Leech Lake. And so, yeah, it happens all over. We need a good perch hatch like that on Mille Lacs, and that would solve a lot of issues. I think a lot what the DNR is looking at is harvest numbers. They don't want to go over their allocation for harvest numbers. So when the bite's good, they're going to make up excuses like, hey, you can't keep a fish because, you know, this or that or the other thing. And so they don't want to go over their allocation with the bands. And so, you know, that's why we fall into these categories where you keep one fish or one fish between 21 and 22 or catch and release only, or it all has to do with the allocation. I think the fishery itself, the amount of at least the numbers of walleyes, the numbers of spawning stock biomass is great. But I think as soon as you get perch numbers that drop and forage base that starts to drop in that lake, the DNR really starts to worry because they don't want Mille Lacs is, you know, what, an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. So you can get a big influx of anglers very quickly if the bite gets hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to go over those numbers. They don't want to deal with that. So then they make it super conservative, super restrictive. If we get a big young of the year perch hatch and catch rates go way down, boom, they'll say, okay, yep, we'll open it up in August and life will be good again. So that's sort of how that works because it's a shared fishery, like it or not, but that's just the way it is.
Hi, this is Joel Nelson of Joel Nelson Outdoors. We just call him Kev's son because he doesn't know Jack. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Get away and experience great moments in Bemidji's great outdoors.
Discover the first city on the Mississippi with the whole family and enjoy unique lodging, encouraging hospitality, and great adventures in the pristine Northwoods setting.
With over 400 lakes for fishing, more than 160 miles of bike trails, and amazing campsites, Bemidji is a unique destination to create and live out those great moments.
Plan your next family getaway today. Go to visitbemidji.com.
Great moments in Bemidji.
Great moments in Bemidji.
This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. Paul Bunyan Country is the place many people want to be. Let's check in with our guy, Mark Harmon from Northview Bank, on how to make that happen. And you know, Mark, some people want to start from ground zero. Other people want it all done and ready to vacation in.
This seems to be a common pattern I see a lot. Somebody wants to buy a piece of land, right? So they buy a piece of land, and all of a sudden they find that RV or they park that fish house on it. Then over time, they're like, okay, we need something a little bit more significant than this. And they start honing in on what retirement looks like. You know, so from the bare land purchase to the construction loan part of this, to possibly even a home equity line of credit on your primary residence down in the cities to maybe do some of those improvements, like put in the septic, put in the water, make those improvements. We've got you covered on all of that at Northview Bank. You know, just give me a call. We'll get you taken care of.
Mark is the man. You can give him a call at 218-366-9670. Northview Bank, with many locations, including several in the heart of Paul Bunyan country. Northview Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. You can find out more at northviewbank.com.
Hey, I'm Jason Rhinelander of North Country Guide Service. My back sure hurts from carrying Kev Jackson for all these years.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're talking with Tony Roach of Roach's Guide Service. Tony, you just got back from a southern trip. Saw some pics on social about that. Where were you at? What were you fishing for, and how was it?
It was awesome, Kevin. I love fishing anywhere. In the spring, I love going down south and trying different experiences. I would say the last 5 to 10 years, I've really enjoyed inshore fishing or backwater fishing, whether it's mangroves or, snook, redfish. I fished in Texas, Louisiana, Florida. This trip, we went down to Belize. Belize has incredible flats fishing, bonefish, permit. I wasn't interested, and it's a huge destination for fly anglers. Matter of fact, when we were getting on our flight, it was like fly angler after fly angler with their rod cases, getting on the plane. I wasn't that interested in fly fishing. I was more interested in spin cast fishing, and my goal was to catch a permit. I had never caught a permit before. If those listening don't know what a permit is, they look like a giant jack, basically. They're massive. They're super strong fish. But they live in the flats, and it's amazing. You're only in about, chest deep water when you catch these things. So you need pinpoint accuracy with your casts. They're very spooky. So like I was just using live crabs on a circle hook, and you got to cast your crab out in front of these fish, and they have to swim right over the top of it. If you throw it too close to them, it spooks them. It's like hunting fish down, right? Mm-hmm. And so we did that. We caught bonefish down there as well. We caught tons of snapper, everything right off the piers. The snorkeling is incredible down there because it's that big reef that extends all the way to like Cancun. You know, I think it's the second largest reef in the world next to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. So
wow.
Incredible snorkeling. The water is just crystal clear, and it was a fun experience. We brought the kids down there. We like our kids to experience different fishing events as well. Both my kids love to fish. So it was just a great family trip, and I love it. I like getting out of here kind of in that March time frame once my season's done. And then coming back to spring in Minnesota. I hate leaving like in December before my ice season, and then you have a whole winter of, ice fishing. I like it always at the end. It kind of passes the time until I can get up to Rainy or out to Green Bay or something like that. So
yeah.
This time period is always like my favorite time of year to travel.
Okay. Was it, what goes into it as far, we know we got to get a passport and we know we got to, book flights and get the hotel or whatever, but do you have to buy like a license there? Or what are the costs associated with the actual fishing portion?
It was actually really reasonable. The guides, like the permit fishing, I fished with a guide, they have the big flats boats with like the platform so you can see, but the guides are really reasonable. It's $500 for the day for the guide. Our guide was really dialed in. I had done some research on guides because a lot of them, they cater towards fly fishermen, and we wanted to spin cast. And so I seeked out this particular guide. $500 for the day. Your license is only like $10. It's really reasonable. What's cool in Belize is, if you want to shore fish, everywhere we go, we always bring our own gear.
and, you know, fish off the sides of the roads or on piers or whatever. We do a lot of surf fishing sometimes. Well, there in Belize, you know, nobody owns the ocean. Well, they made it like a covenant that if you have a dock or a pier, you don't own, you own that, but you have to allow the public to use it because the ocean, nobody owns the ocean, right?
Right.
And so it's kind of cool. My son was catching snapper right off the dock. He'd bring them in. We'd clean them. We had multiple dinners where we grilled fresh snapper right there. He caught some bonefish where both of us caught bonefish that we released. Yeah, it's just a cool place. What's cool about where we went to Ambergris Key right off of, you know, the, we flew into Belize City and then took a little jumper flight, is you drive around golf carts. And so you can tour the whole island in a golf cart. So we would just throw our rods in the golf cart, and when in high tide, we'd go fish the backwater mangroves and catch all sorts of fish. Just on our passes, anything that looked good, a deep pool or a bridge area with a channel, we would stop and fish. And it was incredible how many big fish were in these backwaters in high tide that we could access right off the road. And so we were joking around, me and my son, because in the spring of the year, like this time of year, as the lakes are starting to go out, we call it ditch fishing. We go and fish crappies and bluegills in these ditches and these little backwater areas. So we were just exploring the island for ditch fishing experiences, and we had a blast. It was really fun. It was a great fishing destination, really a family place, super safe, and we're excited. I'll definitely be going back there at some point.
All right. That sounds awesome. I need to do that. I need to do something like that. That would be awesome for sure. Well, as we get ready for spring, I mean, the water's going to go out. It appears it'll go out a little earlier this year. It'll give people a lot of time to do some pan fishing up here, you know, before the walleye opener. And there's a lot of fish to catch, even if you can't catch walleyes.
Yeah. You know, the last few springs, it's been kind of touch and go whether we're going to have ice out by opener. That's not going to be the case this year. Anglers are going to be able to do lots of pan fishing, you know, whether it's perch fishing, bluegills, crappies, that sort of thing. Something that I love doing is sucker fishing. White suckers run in all these little rivers and creeks. Me and my son do a ton of that. There's going to be lots of different angling experiences as we lead up to the opener. And then, you know, we're going to have a different type of opener than we've had the last few years. The last few years, because of the late ice out, everybody's fishing really slow. They're fishing spot tail shiners up shallow. You know, when you have a later opener, it opens up different areas of these lakes that you can fish, and everybody's not all pinned into one particular area of the lake. It kind of gets spread out, which I like, because I hate going on an opener and playing bumper boats on one little stretch of shoreline, because that's where all the fish are, whether it's in front of a river or cedar feeder creek or something like that. I'd like to be kind of spread out on the lake. And yeah, we're going to be well past the spawn. You know, surface temperatures could be a lot warmer than normal, so that opens up a lot of fishing possibilities for anglers if they want to get out there and kind of go explore. And the other thing is scouting for walleyes prior to opener. I like to go out and look for fish to see where they're at before I'm going to go out fishing. You can do that. You'll have plenty of time to do that this year.
You definitely will. That's going to be exciting. I think you'll see a lot of people doing that, especially those like we talked about that maybe didn't get out and do the ice fishing as much as they were able to. They'll be itching to get out on the water.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Before we wrap it up, you got time for a Fast Five?
I do.
Okay, Tony Roach, Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Question number one, based on your recent trip, on your bucket list of places to fish, is there one that you haven't been to yet that you really need to do before you call it a day?
Costa Rica.
What are we fishing for at Costa Rica?
Big giant rooster fish. I've caught them in Mexico, but I want to go to Costa Rica and catch them.
All right. Question number two. I know you're a baseball guy. Who is your favorite Twins player of all time?
Oh, man.
Well, I love Herbeck. You know, I actually fished and won a tournament with Herbeck a couple years ago. So, Herbeck, but Kirby Puckett, you know, if I just had to, like, flat out pick, it would have to be Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, how do you not love Kirby Puckett?
Yeah, he's just my childhood hero. Torrey Hunter is right up there, too. I mean, there's a lot of great twins, Joe Mauer. But Puckett would have to be, just as a child, like, that's who I, you know, that's who I idolize.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, the difference between me and you is, when I was a child, Rod Carew was the man, so.
Sure.
I'm a little older than you. All right. Question number three. When it comes to fishing, do you have a guilty pleasure fish that, you know, you'd be kind of embarrassed if people knew? Maybe you won't tell me, but that's my question.
Oh, man, it would have to be white suckers. I love fishing suckers in the spring. You know, these little feeder creeks that, you know, it could be a tributary to a main river channel, or it could be, you know, just these small little rivers and stuff. I grew up fishing suckers after school. When they're running, they are usually in big numbers. And so, yeah, it has to be suckers.
Okay. Question number four. Will the Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
Oh, man, this offseason, it's not looking so great. But, yeah, I think they will. I'm a diehard Vikings fan. You know, even when they're losing, I'm still listening or watching. I'm sure hopeful. My dad says that they're not going to, you know, win a Super Bowl in his lifetime, but I think I'm young enough still that they will. But, yeah, this offseason's not looking good. We're kind of blowing up the team, and it looks like it's going to be a real, real rebuilding year or two here.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. We're going to have to be patient for a little bit. Finally, question number five. You're living the dream as an outdoor guy and a fishing guy. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing to pay the mortgage?
I'd probably be building stuff. I like being a carpenter. You know, I like doing little projects. So I think I'd like flipping houses, for example, or I like making things look nice. You know, I've remodeled. Like, we bought an old farmhouse when my wife and I first got married, and I redid the farmhouse, and I still like doing projects like that. That, or I wouldn't mind being, you know, a logger. I love cutting wood. I love running big equipment and chainsaws. So one of those two, I believe that's what I'd be doing.
All right. Well, you are guiding, so we'll go back to that to wrap it up. Obviously, people getting ready for summer. I'm sure you still have a few trips available, right?
Yeah, I've got a few right after opener on Leech, actually. I'll be up there. Got a few throughout, kind of sprinkled throughout the summer. So I can't wait to get on open water. As much as I like ice fishing and I like spring traveling, I love getting in the boat. By far, if somebody said you could only pick one season, it would be kind of that spring, early summer walleye and just fishing season. The smallmouth bass fishing is incredible. The walleyes, the pike, perch. I love this time of year coming up here. I love spring crappie fishing, bluegills. It's just everything's biting. Everything's alive. Every lake is just a new adventure. I cannot wait.
Tony, if people want to get in the boat with you and do some fishing, how do they get registered, signed up, and ready to go?
Go online, roachesguideservice.com. They can get a hold of me on the socials, Tony Roach Fishing on Facebook, Tony Roach Fishing on Instagram. Give me a shout. Shoot me an email. I'd love to fish with anyone out there. I just enjoy being in the boat with people and love my job.
I didn't imagine you would love this job. It seems like the ideal job. I know nothing's perfect, but this seems like a pretty close to perfect one.
It is. This will be coming up on my 20th year full-time,
wow.
Kev. So, yeah, it's a dream come true.
He's Tony Roach of Roach's Guide Service. You can check him out online, get registered, or you can see him this weekend down at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis. Is that in the Minneapolis Convention Center?
You bet.
All right, Tony, great to have you in again today. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Love the show, Kevin. Paul Bunyan Country.